All right, everybody stand up. Give them a good thank you. Isn't it a good job? And no eating that in the pews, all right? Believe it back here, Will. You'd be surprised what I see people eating on Sunday sometimes. You have anybody behind you try to open something quietly? How many know it's better just to open the sucker and be done with it, all right? Let me just give you a little bit of advice. We're going to talk about protecting your hunger today. Everybody say that, protecting your hunger. Go ahead and open it. First scripture is Matthew 5 says, blessed are those who what? Hunger. Blessed are those who what? I want to talk to you, as I said, protecting your hunger. Bow your heads. Father, this morning I pray open our hearts, our ears, our understanding, Lord, that we can receive from you. We love you with all our hearts in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen one more time. Amen. All right, turn around with a holy hand and greet somebody. Would you greet him one more time before you're seated? Thank you. Oh, yeah. While you're standing, all the youth, you're dismissed for the back. All the youth, you're having your service this morning. So all the youth, you're dismissed toward the back. James chapter 4 says this. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Everybody say that with me. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Say it one more time. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. You know, this year, as we're beginning this year, we're really still beginning this year, still January, we're taking some time of fasting and prayer. And each of you kind of on your own doing. And this week, I'm going to talk to you about what to fast and pray about. And the key is going to be, we're going to be fasting this week to protect our hunger. That's one of the keys I want to talk about. But the Bible says, draw near to God and God will draw near to you. There's something we can do that can initiate God drawing near. Let me ask you a question. Who makes the first move in this? Draw near to God, and James says he will draw near to you. We have the responsibility of how close we're going to be to God and how close God is going to be to us. He's saying you're the one that determines the level of your relationship with the Lord. Exodus 34:14 says in the New Living says, for he is a God who is passionate about his relationship with you. Did you know God has never cooled off in his relationship with you? He's still in first love mode with you. His heart beats faster when he sees and loves you and thinks about you. His pulse rates, you know, I'm just saying this in a natural way, but God is passionate about his relationship with you. Look at the next scripture. It says, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, I'm still with you. He's literally saying, one translation says, Lord, when I think about the thoughts that you have toward me, they're more than all the sands that are on the face of the earth. God is passionate about his relationship with you and I. But we determine the level of that relationship. He's never changed. He's never moved from where he was. God is passionate. We determine, though, the level of it. James 4 says again, and let me just read it. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Then why do people not draw near to God? Why are many people's relationship with the Lord on a very, very superficial level? Why is that? I'm going to give you what I believe is probably the number one problem, and that is lack of hunger. It says this go to the next scripture. It says this in Matthew 5. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They'll be satisfied. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. You know, just speaking on a natural level, in America, we have more food than almost any other country on the face of the earth. One statistic that I read, it says, according to the United Nations, you eat, as an American, you eat 5 times more food per day than people in Mexico. You eat 10 times more food per day than people in China. And you eat 30 times more food than people in India. Look at somebody say, you old glutton, you. Just say, you old glutton, you. As Americans, just as overboard, we have the best of everything. When you go in a local supermarket, how many kinds of cereals is in the supermarket? You know, as a guy, we don't like a lot of choices. We just like, give me A or B. You know, I go down the row. I mean, you used to have just one. Cheerio? Yeah, I'll take Cheerios. How many know you got buku numbers of Cheerios? You got Frosted Flakes. You got, you know, on and on. We, unfortunately, not only are we spoiled physically in America, we're spoiled spiritually in America. We have more ability, more on the table spiritually than almost any other country in the face of the earth. You can turn on a TV station 24 hours a day and get some religious broadcast going on. We have Larry the Cucumber. We have Bob the Tomato. We have vegetables proclaiming the Word of God to us. We have all kinds of things. I mean, you've got speakers. You've got seminars. You could literally go to a seminar 365 days a year, starting from the West Coast to the East Coast, and always be in some spiritual seminar being fed spiritually. We are literally overdosed. And yet the 50% divorce rate is still taking place, not only in the world, but within the church.
Can I get a better amen? Amen.
We live in a world where we literally, listen, we've got so much stuff over and over again. But what happens is this, one of the roles of the skit we showed this morning, one of the keys about our life is this. There's so much on the table for us in America. To whom much is given, much will be required. The problem is we've filled ourselves with all the other stuff that when it comes to the Lord, we're no longer hungry. Look what Psalm says. Psalm says this, taste. Everybody say taste. That means that's talking about tasting. It has the analogy of eating. It has the analogy of being hungry. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And I'm going to tell you, when you eat of the Lord, you find out His meals are good. What do you partake of? You find out He is good. But many times we never taste because we're too full and we're no longer hungry for what He's got for us. We filled ourselves with everything else in the world, but we no longer, so we don't taste and we don't know that the Lord is really good. Say with our head and say with our mouth, but in our hearts we haven't experienced it. Because we're no longer hungry. There is a lack of hunger. And I'm talking to you about protecting your hunger this morning. Blessed are those that are hungry. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He knew what he was writing about. You know, one of the keys about sickness is one of the first things that go when you're sick is your hunger. And spiritually, watch this. When a person begins to backslide, you may not see it. You may not tell it. You may not know he's doing this or doing that or watching this or thinking this or doing it. But just watch his hunger. If his hunger begins to go, you know something's wrong with him. He began to feast on a carnival, a carnality where he no longer is hungry for the things of God. He's no longer tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. So his hunger's gone. And that's one of the first signs. Oh, you're not hungry anymore. I've got a dog back there. She's pretty old. And I can tell when she's not feeling good because she can't talk. But I can tell it when she doesn't eat her food. I know there's a problem. When the lack of hunger begins to surface, I know there's a problem in my animal. That's just a sign. And so a question would be, are you hungry for the Lord? Are you hungry for the things of God? Are you hungry? Or has your hunger left? Many times the reason hunger leaves is because you've gouged out like these guys right here did. And they've got good things cooking, but they're feeding on junk food. And what happens in our lives? You know, the definition of hunger and thirst, blessed or satisfied or content, fulfilled are those who are hungry. The word means this. Let me give you the definition of it. To hunger means to ardently crave for food. In that part of the world, Jesus spoke not many times to the well-to-do, but many times to the poor. And many of them had experienced hunger. Maybe you have. Maybe you haven't. But if you've ever experienced hunger where you were not able to really get food for a season of time, if you ever read any of the World War I's or World War II and some of the soldiers that talk about times they were cut off from supply lines, and literally are people that were castaways or people that were out at sea. And literally hunger just drove them. You stay hungry for 4, 5, 6 days and it goes away. And then when starvation sets in, the hunger comes back. And the word that Jesus uses here, he's not talking about somebody's got a little appetite, somebody, you know, just, you know. He's talking about somebody that knows the pains of hunger. that literally is ardently hungry, craving for food. He said, happy and blessed are those who know and hunger, ardently craving. There's a hunger within them. And then the word for thirst is the same thing. It literally means to painfully feel the need of water. And if you've ever been cut off from water for any length of time, you know what it is. And so what happens is they would literally begin to do that. The reason that many of us, don't think about this is sometimes you read that and you get condemned. And you think, you know, the Bible says that I'm supposed to be hungry and thirsting after righteousness and I'll be satisfied. And I'm going to tell you what you do is learn this. When you eat the right thing, you feel satisfied. But when you eat junk stuff, how many know you feel like, go ahead and just shoot me. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. And what happens is in life, he says, you know, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And so we think sometimes that that means, literally, it means, I wrote it down this way. That means, he didn't say, blessed are those who work up a hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because listen to this, you don't have to work up hunger. It's a natural thing. Hunger, you know, when a baby's born, you don't teach him to be hungry. Is that right? He tells you, I'm hungry. When you're going to feed me? Every minute of the day you're going to feed me. Keep feeding me on and on. And so what hunger is not something you have to work up. Hunger is something that is natural to you, both in the physical and the spiritual. Bruce Springsteen said it. We all have a hungry heart. Everybody's hungry. And you're hungry. But the key is, what are you eating? What are you filling that hunger with? Because you're hungry. That's why you like to watch that. That's why you like to go to that. That's why you like. Because you have a natural God-given hunger within you. You will worship something. You will do that. It's made within us. I've learned this when I was growing up. My mom, she did just that. She would not allow us to eat junk food. You know, we'd come home from school. We used to eat. How many of you eat supper around 5 o'clock? Let's see your hands. How many of you eat supper around 6 o'clock? How many of you eat supper around 7 o'clock? How many of you don't eat supper? How many just keep right on eating from the time you get home to the time you go to bed? Just one continuous eat. And so what happens is this. My mom wouldn't let us eat junk food because she knew just what we illustrated this morning. Is if we filled up with junk food, when supper time came, we wouldn't be hungry. Gotta get a better amen this morning. We wouldn't be hungry. And that's the key in your life. One of the things about whether you're hungry for God is whether or not you do have a hunger. The key is, what are you eating on and what are you filling yourself with? I'm going to tell you something. If you watch TV till midnight last night, odds are you're not going to be real receptive to the Lord this morning. If you feel from last night until late and you drug into church, guess what? You may not be hungry this morning. You may touch it and do this and sample it and do all the rest, but you'll never taste and see that the Lord is good. You'll never taste him and know that this is good. You'll come in and you'll feel a little revolt. You'll feel, I got to do it. You're doing a duty. You're fulfilling whatever you may think that is going to satisfy God. And it's interesting because what we do is this. We don't work up our own hunger, because hunger is already there. But what happens is we take a carnal substitute and we start filling ourselves up with stuff. Everybody is hungry. Everybody has it. You know, one of the keys I've learned about is how passionate we can be about tiny things in view of eternity. Remember that rope I had here that time? Remember the little bitty red part, and then the rope went all the way around and back around, and I showed that little red part was our time on earth, and the rest of this is our eternity. And how passionate we can be about little things, tiny things. Let me tell you something. The Super Bowl is in the view of eternity, the Super Bowl is a tiny thing. I forgot how many millions and millions of chickens is going to lose their wings this week. Lots of chickens going to be running around with no wings this week. Because chicken wings is the number one big thing during the Super Bowl. I forgot how many millions and millions of chicken wings are bought. But, you know, in 5 or 10 years, you don't even remember who won the Super Bowl. Remember I asked you that a while back, who won the Super Bowl 5 years ago, 4 years ago? You didn't have a clue. Must be important. You spent millions and millions and millions of dollars. Advertisers spend millions of dollars. And let me tell you something. We get passionate about tiny things. Athletes themselves, many of them, will spend their entire life anticipation and great sacrifice for tiny things in view of eternity. Sex. Many people literally will sell out their lives. They'll throw their families away, men and women both, because of sex. TV, I mean, and Hollywood, all that it does. Hobbies. Do you know the average American man spends more time on his hobby than he does with his kids? That's a real stat. Thank God the Christian guys don't. Everybody say amen. But the average guy on the street spends more time and more money on his hobby than he does on his kids. Look what Isaiah 55 says. Hey there. Everybody say hey there. All who are thirsty, come to the water. Are you penniless? Come anyway. Buy and eat. Come, buy your drinks. Buy wine and milk. Buy without money. Everything's free. Why do you spend your money on junk food? Your hard-earned cash on cotton candy. Listen to me and listen well. Eat only the best. Fill yourself with only the finest. Pay attention. Come close now. Listen carefully to my life-giving, life-nourishing words. I'm making a lasting covenant, a commitment with you, the same that I made with David. Sure, solid, enduring love. Everybody say amen. One time many years ago when I was single, I went to Europe. And I was on the Alps. I was on the Swiss Alps somewhere up in the top of Switzerland. I'll never forget. I'd rented a place and I stopped by a little cafe. And I was out on the outside cafe and I ordered a hamburger. And I remember the hamburger came, and I'm sitting there, and I take the bun off. I take all the lettuce off. I take the tomatoes off. I take the pickles off. I take it because I just want to end up with a slab of meat, some ketchup on top of it, and two buns. Come on, somebody. And I remember there was an older Swiss gentleman sitting beside me, and he looked at me and he said this, "The day will come when you'll put the bread and the meat away and you'll eat the rest of it." The time has come. Come on, somebody. The time has arrived. Because when you grow older, you learn how to eat well and not. And so what happens in life is, it says stop buying junk food. Stop filling yourself up with junk stuff. It literally is no good for you. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness is a relationship with the Lord. You know, one of the keys about what hunger and thirsting for righteousness is and isn't, is hungering and thirsting is you're hungering for God himself, not some churchy, religious list of do's and don'ts and hours and this and that. Look what Jesus said one time. You search the scriptures because you think and in them you have eternal life. And they are they that bear witness about me, and you refuse to come to me that you might have a life. Jesus said, I'm the Bible's a roadmap. It's not to be worshipped. It's the roadmap to God. It's his word, but it's his word. It's not to be worshipped, the separate. I love the Bible. I love. You love the Bible because it brings you and tells you about him. You love the cross because he hung on the cross. There's nothing great about the cross. It was an electric chair of that day. And it's because of who hung on the cross. The name Jesus is great, but it's only a name. It's the person behind the name that we love. It's him. And he said, you fall in love with the scriptures, and they are they which testify about me. Look at the next one he said. He told them. He said, then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? And Jesus said, this is the work of God. Believe on him whom he has sent. He said, you want to do some works? It's in belief. It's in faith. It's in relationship with me. It's in knowing me. You want to work? It's knowing me. So one of the keys about being hungry about relationship is this. Do not think that means, okay, that means I start going to church more, I start reading my Bible more, I start praying more, that means I really got, no, listen. I remember different children that's been kidnapped through the years and made national news. And I remember one time there was a young girl named Elizabeth, remember Elizabeth Smart? Remember she was, I think, kidnapped for 9 months and taken away? And just set the picture for you, think about this, those 9 months that she was held captive, can you imagine the hunger she had to be back with her family? The hunger she had. And she wouldn't think, I got to get back to my family because, man, I got to mow the, it's my week to mow the yard, and I got to do my clothes and my homework. And how many know none of that stuff entered her mind? How many know even flipped the coin on her parents' part? They weren't thinking, man, I wish Elizabeth was back here because, man, we need her to clean her bedroom. We need, it's her turn to do the dishes. You know, there wasn't anything that had to do with a list of do's and don'ts. It has because we want her near us. We want a relationship back with her. We want to love her. We want to hug her. We want to be around her. And when God talks about being in a relationship with him, when he talks about being hungry for him and his righteousness, he's not talking about you becoming better and doing a list of things that you accomplish. He's wanting you next to him. He's wanting to walk with you and talk with you, draw you near to his side, put his arms around you, put your arms around him. And then let me tell you, because you will get hungry for him. You'll thirst for him. You'll go after him. And so when it happens is God loves us, he's passionate about a relationship with us. You know, it says in Psalms 37, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. We think, well, we can just butter God up. Let's get close to God and we'll butter him up. Let me tell you something. When you get close to God, your whole desires become right. When you start eating right, your desires become right. You stop wanting Twinkies in the middle of the night. Come on, somebody. You stop digging your own grave with that fork. Come on, somebody. You ever started? You start just, you know, just take a fork instead of cutting you a piece of pie or a piece of cake. You just take a fork and eat a little bite. Then next time you eat another bite. Next thing you know, and then next thing you know, I ate the whole thing. Come on, somebody. Because you hunger after what you eat. You know, the next scripture, Jeremiah said this, seek me. He says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Your hunger and thirst. Listen, your heart comes after God. On and on and on. Your heart comes after him. Many of us pray wrongly. We say, Lord, increase my hunger. Oh, God. Listen, that is up to you and to I. That's an inappropriate prayer is to ask God to increase your hunger. He already gave you hunger. You have it. It's inside of you. It's there physically and it's there mentally and it's there spiritually. You have a hunger. But here's the key to it. Proverbs says, one who is full loathes honey. But to one who is hungry, everything bitter is. Is that right? You ever had enough eating? You say, oh, man, why'd you do? And next time you hadn't had food in a long time, and you say, you're like a pig to the trough. I mean, you just go at it. Because to the full, even honey, you loathe honey. I don't know. You loathe honey. But to the hungry, even the bitter is sweet. Let me tell you something. There's some people in here this morning that are hungry. They're at the end of themselves. They've gone the route of the prodigal son. And they're hungry to be home. There's others, you're so full of stuff, you loathe the honey. Can I get a better amen this morning? You loathe the, because of hunger. You know, he's saying that the degree that you fill your soul with things that are not right will be the degree of your hunger. It's what you filled yourself. This week, I am challenging you, and somebody liked my little phrase, I double dog dare you to fast the things that are filling you up that's keeping you from being hungry for God. I want to dare you this week to fast the things that are filling you up so that when you think about reading the Bible, no, I think I'll go watch the Three Stooges one more time. See Curly Smackmo one more time. All right. Revelation 3:17 says this, for you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing. You notice the progression? I'm not hungry. I got everything I need. Not realizing you're wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Now, let me tell you something. You'll read that on a surface level, and you think being rich means has nothing to do with that whatsoever. They had filled their lives up with stuff, and they were no longer hungry for God. I have need. I don't need nothing because I don't want nothing. Now, let me tell you something. Just having a lot of stuff doesn't disqualify you from being hungry. One of the richest men that ever lived was David. When David died, guess how much gold he left Saul? Just one of his sons. We don't know how much he left the rest of them. But one son, what he left for Solomon, when David died, David left 4,000 tons of gold for Solomon. How many think you get by on that? How many think you get by? You get by on 4,000 tons, and then 40,000 tons, I think, of silver, or 80,000 tons, is a lot. It's a lot. Good inheritance. Everybody say it was a good. How many would like the inheritance like that? And then it says he left him so much bronze it couldn't even be counted. But watch what David said about himself. A prayer of David. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am what? The guy had 4,000 tons of gold to give his son, one son. And yet he looked at himself and says, Lord, I'm poor and needy. I am poor. You and Jed Clampett could be competing in the bank, and yet you can go before God and say, God, I got, you know, all that, but I'm hungry for you. Lord, I am poor and needy. That's what made David so great. He had the wealth of, we wouldn't even compare, and yet he would say before God in the night season, Lord, I am poor and needy. I need you, God. I'm hungry for you. What are you filling yourself up with? What are you full of? What have you been doing? For I am poor and needy. Revelation 3:14 says it this way. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness. You know what a true witness is? A true witness is somebody that tells the truth. No matter whether who likes it or who doesn't, a true witness is a person that'll tell you the truth. Let me tell you what you need to be told sometimes. You need to be told the truth sometimes. You don't need to be candy-coated and always pumped up. You need to be told the truth. And what he does is the Lord will come, and if you'll be let him be honest with you, he will tell you the truth. He will show you your heart. Lord, you know, David said this one time. He said, Lord, show me my heart. And then I'll never forget this scripture. It says, where is your heart? And that's the key. Where's your heart this morning? What have you been feeding on? Where's your heart at? What have you been feeding on? Look at verse 20. It says this. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and do what? You know what that means? Well, your hunger will come back. If you'll hear my voice and open the door of your heart. This is written to Christians, not to lost people. We'll start eating together again. You'll get hungry for the things of God. We'll sup. One of the greatest relationships, the greatest ways you'll ever have companionship and is when you eat with somebody. And Jesus said, it's been a long time since we ate together. I know you've come to church and you know you've come to, but you've never sat down with me, and you've never sat, because you're not hungry. The full soul loathes the honey. But a hungry soul, even bitter, is sweet. And Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and your hunger will begin to revive itself and we'll eat together. How many know it'll be good food? How many of them say it'll be good food? You'll taste and see that the Lord is good. You'll sit down with him and you'll feast on what he wants to feast on. And he says, if you'll hear my voice, I'll come in, I'll do that. You know, on and on. You've got to come to the place where you began to protect your hunger. We've been to England numerous times, and we went one time to see the crown jewels, I think it was, or I forgot what it was called, some of the crown jewels. And they put you on a conveyor belt, and you stand on a conveyor belt, and they're in the middle, and you just kind of go down the line, and there they all are. They have some of the most sophisticated security stuff to protect those little bitty rocks. You ought to see. I mean, they got guards. They got cameras. They got infrared. They've got, you know, I read one time all the different protection devices they have to protect a rock. Come on, somebody. And yet we forget to protect our hunger, because we need to protect our hunger, because if you don't, you'll begin to lose out and you'll lose your hunger. And that's the first signs of sickness, of spiritual sickness, when you're no longer hungry for God and the things he's got. You'd be satisfied with junk food. You begin to eat it. But we do all that to protect. We will hunger for what we feed on. Out of the heart, the mouth what? And if you're around people and all they talk about is shopping, shopping, shopping. Guess what their heart's full of? or fishing, or you name it. I don't, you name it. You know, when somebody falls in love, you ever had somebody been, how many know the most annoying person to be around is somebody that's head over heels in love? No, I'm just talking, it's okay for YouTube, I mean, but everybody else is just, annoying to be around them. What you think about Susie? You know, you come to a place where whatever's in your heart is going to finally come out of your mouth. And if you don't ever talk about Jesus or his word or anything during the day to anybody, no, Pastor, I'm an undercover agent. I'm an undercover agent. That's what I am. God has no undercover agents. Come on, somebody. He didn't have secret. There's no secret branch of the Secret Service in the Christian place. All right, we'll go right on. I can tell you love that. You know, when you hunger after something, let me tell you what. One of the wisest things I ever heard, I've told you this before, let me tell you again. C.T. Studd, a great missionary to Africa. He was one of the richest men in England. His dad was. Dad was a multi-billionaire and owned corporations, all this and that. And C.T. Studd, they were in cricket, and he was a All-American, and he would have been a professional athlete of his day. He and his brothers are big wigs and all this and that. And his dad was a big into horse racing and loved horse racing and raced horses, had a big, you know, built a huge horse stables and racetracks for himself and on and on. And he'd take his horses and had some of the best horses in England, take them all the races around the world. And one of his buddies was saved under D.L. Moody and invited C.T. Studd's dad to go to one of the D.L. Moody meetings, and he got saved. And requested a private meeting with D.L. Moody. He granted it. And the first question came up. He said, D.L. Moody, I got saved in your meeting. I want to ask you a question. Is horse racing sinful? And he said, I just want to shoot straight with you. And D.L. Moody said, well, I'll just shoot straight with you, brother. He said, here's all I'm going to ask you to do. You go win your first soul to the Lord. Win your first person to Jesus. You just go win your first person and then come back and talk to me. Wisdom. You talk about wisdom. Because he could have talked out. You get rid of that. You get that thing out of your mouth. You stop betting that money. You know, betting, sitting down. He didn't do all that. He said, you just go win your first soul to the Lord. And C.T. Studd's dad went and sold and won his first soul to the Lord. Came back, met with D.L. Moody, and said, I understand now. His whole heart changed. He became so enamored, so consumed with winning the lost. He sold all of his horse tracks. Nobody told him to. Sold all of his horse tracks, sold the land, sold the horses, got it all away. Began when he won hundreds of people to the Lord. He died by running through the rain to witness to a guy and caught pneumonia and died of pneumonia because he stood out in the rain witnessing to a guy. It so touched C.T. Studd. He gave up cricketing. He gave his inheritance. He felt the Lord speak to him, though that not to everybody. The Lord spoke to him and said, you can take the place of the rich young ruler. And what he didn't do, I'm now offering it to you. Go and sell all that you have. Give the poor. He gave all of his millions upon millions away. He kept a little bit back because he said, you know, the Bible says that it's, you know, if you don't take care of your own, you're worse than an infidel. When he got married, he married an Irish young girl that was a missionary. She found out what he did. She rebuked him and said, the Lord said, give all. So he gave the rest. They lived by faith the rest of their lives. Goes down in the book and annuals of the great history of great men that lived by faith all their life. But you know what? He was hungry for the things of God. He got hungry. And let me tell you something. When you come to that place, put that last. I think I have one more scripture. Is that what I've got? I can't even remember where I'm at. But we're going to end up. It says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Let me tell you something this morning. If you do nothing else the rest of your life, you say, well, let's do some fasting. Let's really fast from food. Some of you fast from food, but let me just tell you what I think would be a better fast for this week. Whatever it is that's causing you to lose your hunger, give it up this week. Whatever it is that's causing you to lose your hunger, give it up. Everybody say amen. Hey, everybody stand up this morning. Would you stand up? I know this is sort of a skinning sermon this morning. And it really is. I mean, the Lord does. He comes and he's a true and faithful witness. And that is, he tells you what you need to hear. And you need to hear this, because some of you, it's not a lot. You know, sometimes it's just a little bitty adjustment. And then the whole thing comes up. Bow your heads, would you, this morning? If you want the Lord to do that in your life, musicians, come on up. I want all the musicians come up real quick, if you would. Are they still here? You guys are still here? I think I saw Nick go out. Nick just went backwards. Musicians, come on up. I really feel like the Lord wants you to take just a minute and think about this. In his presence, I think there's some things the Lord wants to say to you. There's some things the Lord will do in you. And instead of, you see, you didn't hear the preacher say, I want you here at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning. We're going to start this 5 o'clock prayer meeting. I didn't say that. I'm telling you like D.L. Moody said, I want you to start eating the right thing. And when you do, you ever eat junk food and all of a sudden you went and had like a great salad and your body just says, this is really much better than, you know, one more Hostess Twinkie. And what happens this week is Hollywood, you know, can only imitate. It's not real. Sports are, you know, are you going to watch the Super Bowl? Yeah, I'm going to watch the Super Bowl. I'm not telling you to get it all. I'm not doing all that. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to eat good before I ever get there. I would have gotten the first fruits to the Lord. I've gotten on eating what's good. And this morning, I want you to do this. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're doing in your life. I don't know what you're eating and feeding yourself on. He said, but you know, Pastor, I don't. Every day I think about it, I'm going to read the Bible today, but you know, I just end up, you know, da 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 da. You know, one of the keys about when you go off a long fast and you haven't eaten right and long, you haven't eaten much, you don't eat a big meal, you eat little bits. And let me tell you what to start on this. Would you start just eating little bits this week? Instead of saying, no, I used to do this now, this week I'm fasting that, so I'm going to fill it up with all. Listen, try and do the best, but listen, just take little bites. Take a scripture or two here and let it be nourishment to you. And you're going to watch yourself begin to get hungry for the thing. I'm going to guarantee you, if you will do that this week, next Sunday, listen, Ben's going to be preaching. And I'll never forget this because, you know, Larry Stocksill and I talked one time how amazing it was. He said the first time he heard Joel speak and he received from Joel. And I said, same thing with me. I said, you know what? The other time when Ben spoke, the Lord really spoke to me. I said, it's amazing when we watch and those that we've saw raised up, they've got their own life and heart for God. And they're going to give and God's going to do things in their lives. And I'm going to tell you, you've got a chance this week. I'm going to tell you, God wants, listen, it's like somebody's been kidnapped coming back home. God is passionate about his relationship with you. He just wants you. And he'll be you. When you get near him, you will become like him. When you gaze on him, you will become like him. He'll do that in your life. And this morning, what's going to happen is you'll come to the place where he'll become all that you want. He'll become all that you need. He'll become all that you. Let's do that song. He's all the one you did about all that. He's all I need. I don't remember exactly which one it was. I think number 2 or 3, something like that. You remember it? Close your eyes. Would you do that just for a second? Then we start singing it. It's a little bit beat up, sweet song, right? Then flow. We'll do it. Hey, how many want to be hungry for God again? You want to be hungry for God again? Give him a good clap off. Come on, clap your hands. Come on, let's sing that song. Let's go.
And you're all that we want. You're all that we need. And you're all that we want.
Tell him that today. Come on.
You're all that we need. Yeah. We know where the Spirit of the Lord is. Your presence more than anything. Oh, we need you more than just a song to sing, more than words, our offering. We need your presence more than any. You're all we want. You're all that we want. You're all that we need. You're all that we want. You're all that we need. We know the Spirit of the Lord is. We know living in your freedom. Is a kingdom. Oh, we are yours. We are yours. We are yours. Everything God gives, you're all we want. And you're all that we want. You're all that we need. You're all that we want. You're all.
I want you to do this right now. When we began the service this morning, I talked about a word the Lord gave me last week. That was when Peter was told by God, when he saw the vision of the unclean animals, pigs and all kinds of stuff, rise, kill and eat. And Peter looked at that and says, not so, Lord. He was saying this. He was saying, those things are unclean. And the Lord said, don't you ever call unclean what I have called clean. And I talked about our hands. And some of you got your hands in your pockets and you stand there like you got dirty hands. Now let me tell you something about those hands will never get clean by your effort and by your, you know, okay, I'm going to start really reading the Bible, really going to prayer, really going to church, and that'll get my hands clean. It never will. Filthy rags. It's like getting a filthy rag and trying to clean your hands with a filthy rag. All that filthy rag does is get your hands more filthy. Only thing that what can wash away my sins, nothing but the blood of the Lord Jesus. And God comes this morning, you're looking at your own hands and that representing your life, and you're thinking, no way, Lord, I'm dirty, you can't cleanse me. And I'm going to tell you, the power of forgiveness is the Lord rebukes you when you repent, and the Lord rebukes you and says this to you, don't you call unclean what I have cleaned. Don't you consider unclean what I have cleaned. If I have cleansed you, don't you ever consider yourself unclean. So get those dirty hands out of those pockets. One more time. Come on, let's leave. Give Lord a good clap offer. Let's sing it one more time. Come on.
You're all that we want.
You're all.
You're all.
You're all.